All right, brethren. This morning we're going to be in Romans 12. And I want to look this morning at verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, 3 through 8. Now, we began our study here in chapter 12 last time looking at verse 1. And Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we saw that the understanding that Paul was giving us in this is that our living sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our living sacrifice in whom we present our bodies so that we come daily. A living sacrifice in the living sacrifice. That is looking to Christ alone for all our righteousness and holiness and acceptance with the Lord. And so in that faith by which we look to our Savior, trusting Him, hoping in Him, that's the faith and the hope with which we labor and serve among our brethren, right? In sacrificing ourselves and living for our brethren and serving one another in that spirit of love and faith and hope in the Lord. And now, this chapter, we know, will detail as we come to these verses, we see that it's describing gifts which the Lord gives to His people and dispenses to His people. And where are gifts primarily seen? They're seen primarily in the public worship when the Lord brings us together as a body. As you look at these, you see that each of these gifts certainly has a place in the body of the public worship of the Lord, and they're displayed, they're used to our profit in that public worship when we come together as a body to worship the Lord. And so knowing that, it's important, and it means something when it becomes important to our lives, right? And we make an effort to prioritize the worship of the Lord together as a body. Right, that we don't want to lose sight of the fact that that is important, and I believe the Lord blesses it, and that He's moving us toward that. He's growing us toward that sense and understanding, that knowledge that we have, that it is important, and it is a blessing to meet together, and we grow as the Lord turns our hearts from however it is, wherever we're coming from, with the baggage we come with and our thoughts and what we've done in training ourselves throughout life, well, the Lord will correct those things and He'll bring us to that union of a body in which we serve the Lord and practice together. We serve the Lord and worship His name together. And so it's in this context that we exercise these gifts that He's given to us, right? And then these gifts, you know, they will spill out to other areas as a necessary consequence because it's real and genuine. It's going to benefit others around us, but it's used primarily in that body with your brethren, okay? If you look over in Galatians 6, we see Paul exhorting his brethren there in Galatia in chapter 6 verses 7 and 10 through 10. And he exhorts the brethren concerning our labor with each other in the body as opposed to our labor in the world, right? We all labor in the world. We have to do things in the world, but he's talking primarily of our labor as a body and how we labor amongst one another, right? And he says there, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so in that same spirit, Paul's now reminding, he's exhorting his Roman brethren, right, that God has outfitted them for the work. He's equipped us. He's given gifts to the body of his people, and he's given them these things in his grace and prepared them for this service and labor of love among the brethren. And he does this reminder with an exhortation when he says in verse 2, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? And we know that's the grace of God toward us. That's the sovereign work of our God to transform our mind. We don't transform our own minds. We grow in this understanding and begin to see what God is doing by his grace and power in us, in turning us and transforming our focus and attention all on the world to look to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's saying to us, he's exhorting us, he's saying, fight, brethren, in your flesh. You and I have passions and lusts and desires which attend to the things of this world very naturally, right? They're in this flesh. They're coursing through this old man. They're all there. And so he's saying, you have the knowledge of God, and these things are exalting themselves against the knowledge that God has given you of who he is and what he's done for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know how the flesh fights against that knowledge and would exalt itself against these are the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And so when we hear it, the Spirit teaching us is showing us not to be careless with these things and not to be indifferent or to let these things go or to allow these things to be trampled upon by ourselves. Jude, which is one chapter in verse 3, he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for that and fight for what the Lord is doing in our midst. And he's saying, he's reminding us, putting us in remembrance that we want to be useful and profitable to the kingdom of God. We don't always know how to do that. We don't often think we are doing that, but the Lord has a way in just gathering his people. Even through subtle means, he's turning us. And that's what I want us to hear, how the Lord is teaching us, even in his word, even in this context, now that we come to, that it's good for brethren to dwell together. And that in unity, in the mind of Christ, right? That's the unity that we have. It's in Christ. We come together over the fellowship that we have of Christ and what he's done for us. Paul, concerning this, you know, as I was thinking of all that, I thought of what Paul said over in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. He's writing to Timothy. Much later in life, and he says to him, take Mark, you know, John Mark. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He's profitable to me. And we think, wait a minute. Barnabas and Paul, they fought over the profitableness of Mark. And at one time, Paul didn't think Mark was profitable at all in the kingdom. He was immature. He was a young man and he's immature in the faith. He loved the Lord, but he made foolish choices. He left Barnabas and Paul. It was too hard for him. And he went back home and left, abandoned them where they were. And they lost him there. But now Paul says he's profitable, right? And Luke records what had happened. It says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And yet here we see now the grace of God in teaching John Mark and bringing him to see, you know, to mature him in the faith and the hope he has in the Lord. And so he grew to be profitable to Paul for the ministry. After it was Paul was the one who was arguing against Paul, and Barnabas kept him with him. But the Lord was clearly with Paul in the matter. Mark had some things to learn and to be instructed, because it was Paul and Silas that were sent, that were recommended by the brethren to the grace of God, it says. And he continues with Paul's ministry, not Barnabas' ministry, right? Now, if we look at, you know, if we hear that and we look back at our actions and our own failings, we can be very discouraged. And I don't say this for any of us to be discouraged, but as what Paul said in Philippians 3:13, forget those things which are behind. Forget those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Every one of us can look back on things that we've done with shame and pain and hurt us, myself included. We all can. And so it's not to shame us. It's to encourage us to let me, Lord, help me. Help me. I see my weakness. I just see what my follies are. Help me, Lord, to be profitable and useful to your people in your kingdom. You know, turn over to Acts 13. Acts 13, I just want us to see the language of Scripture here and what Paul says, what the Spirit moves the brethren to say and to record for us in the Scriptures. In Acts 13:43. Acts 13:43. Here, this is Paul and Barnabas, and they're preaching to Jews in the synagogue, and it says, now when the congregation was broken up, they're hearing of Christ now from ministers of the gospel, these Jews there, they were breaking up, and it says, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, this is Paul and Barnabas now speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. He's saying, continue in the grace of God. Right? That's the language of Scripture, exhorting us, encouraging us, continue in the grace of God. Look over at Acts 11:23. This is before Paul is even in the ministry, and this is now focused on Barnabas. Acts 11:23, it says, who, when he, Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, right? He was witnessing the fruits of the Spirit in the brethren there. And he's glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Right? With purpose of heart, with understanding of what our God has done and what he's calling us to, that they should cleave unto the Lord, attach themselves and hang on for dear life, just hang on to the Lord and let that be their pursuit and their goal, their focus, all right? And so I bring that up to say this is the Spirit Paul is coming to us with and exhorting us as a body with which he's fitted us with gifts to serve and labor with one another. That's the Spirit, all right? And so I've titled this, Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I probably could have had a better title, but Serve the Lord is what we're going with here. And we have two divisions. First, we'll look at this measure of faith that Paul speaks of in verse 3. And then we'll also look at this sober-minded humility that he calls us to, right? We're first acknowledging the gifts that God's given us and then remembering to be humble with those gifts as the Lord does help us, right? Not judging one another, not puffed up in our own minds and thinking that we're something when we're nothing, right? It wasn't of our flesh, but of God that gave us the gifts. And so that's what we see here. And that's what I want you brethren to see in this passage. So the measure of faith. So Paul, now we have this understanding. We get it. All right. Paul is speaking to us with urgency and care, right? He's He's laid the foundation of our hope in chapters 1 through 11. And he's shown us that our hope is God. It's his sovereign, electing grace that we have any standing in the Lord. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his blood and his righteousness that we stand in fellowship with our God and are accepted of him. Not because of us, but because of him. And so it's now with this understanding that he says in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. So first, the grace that's given unto Paul, it does refer to all the gifts that God has given to him, that the Spirit of God has given to Paul. And that includes all the fruits of the Spirit that a born-again child of God bears in them by the Spirit, right? In the new man, the Lord bears fruits of grace and that in us, showing and testifying that we are the Lord's people, all right? But this grace given definitely, if not what he has in mind, is also referring to his apostleship, right? He's an apostle of the Lord, and he's speaking now with the authority of an apostle of the Lord. And so he's been commissioned by the Lord directly to go and preach the word and to interpret the scriptures to show us, which he did, through the letters that the Spirit recorded here for us by him, showing us that what is the message of the scriptures? That it's Christ. That Christ is our righteousness. That he's our hope. That he's everything to us. He's our standing in acceptance with the Lord. And it's not our works of righteousness that we're saved, but we're saved by Christ. So he does that. And so Paul now, as an apostle, speaks saying, to every man that is among you. Every man that is among you. And so he's saying that regardless of our gifts or the measure of those gifts, right? The abundance of them or the strength or the smallness of those gifts, regardless of whether we hold an office in the church or not, he says to every man that is among you, he's exhorting us regarding our labor among one another, right? Whether it's in great works or small works, whatever it is. But he's speaking to everyone, every man among us, every one of us, all right? Now, we're going to look at verse 3 a little bit more, but Paul mentions this measure of faith, and I want to just focus on that for a little bit. It refers to our gifts that we have in the body. Right? The measure of faith is referring to our gifts. Each man and woman's gifts that God has given them in the Spirit, which we exercise in this body, right? As the body of the Lord. And he describes it with this word faith. This word faith, right? The measure of faith. But what he's saying there is it's a measure of our gifts, depending on the gifts that our Lord gives us. Now, faith is mentioned because faith is a prominent gift which every child of God has. Every single one of us has faith. And it's a word that Paul is using to describe grace and the gifts of his grace for us. It's the measure of faith. And so Paul is speaking to us as members of Christ's body. Look at verse 4. All right. It's always in the context of the body. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." All right. Now, the fact that we're a body, I think it helps for us to think, you know, what will a man or a woman sacrifice for their own body? What do you do for your own body? What provisions do you make for your body? You tend to make great sacrifices for your own body, right? When you set your heart and mind on something, You will go to great lengths to accomplish that for your own body because it profits you, right? Or if you say, well, wait, I do a lot of things for my spouse, right? Because we will do a lot of things for the good and the benefit of our spouse. We'll do things that we wouldn't normally do for them. But what is our spouse? But members of our own body, right? It says in Ephesians 5:31 that a man shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One flesh. Right? And then a husband and a wife, what do? They make great sacrifices for their own children. Right? You do things to help your children, to care for your children, and to make, and you give up a lot for their good and their betterment. Right? We do what we can do. And yet, what are our own children? But the offspring of our own body. You know, so we do a lot of things for our own body. So with that understanding of the sacrifices you make for your own body, right, that comes very easy for you and naturally for you, Paul is showing us you're in the body of Christ. This is your own body. When you serve the body of Christ, you're ministering to your own body. In that same measure, that you have that understanding that God's given you of the sacrifices you make for your own body, your own spouse, which is your own body, your children, which are the offspring of your body. And so we do that. And so he said, Paul even said in Ephesians 5:32, this is a great mystery. This union we have with Christ, this body that we're in is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so when we labor for the body of Christ, it's to our own benefit. We're doing good for ourselves, and it strengthens the body, and it heals the body, and it helps the body, and lays up good store for the body. And so Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Right? And so we have our part in this body according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so we use our gifts, which we're given to use in this body. Right? And Paul uses that term faith there. And elsewhere, he calls it the gift of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and let's look at a few verses there. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. Here in verse 7, he's talking about the same thing. Over in Romans, measure of faith, here he calls it a little differently. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Right, so this is the grace of God that we're exhorted to continue in. Right, with these gifts he's given to us, he says, continue in the faith, continue in the grace of God. Right, he says, with purpose of heart, we should cleave unto the Lord. Right, he's the one who gave us these gifts to attach us and to unite us in heart and spirit and mind with one another as a body. And that body has the same understanding of our body, our union as with our spouses, and that same body in your own body, and how things function differently, and when they're all working together, there's a nice harmony there, and you accomplish many, many things, right? Now, if you read a little further down in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 13, here we see again that he is speaking of gifts that are used in the body of Christ. He says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so, you know, you think about when you and your spouse are working together, right? When a husband and a wife are of the same mind, they focus on a goal, and they work to achieve that goal, how much more smoothly things run in attaining that goal. And when you make mistakes, it's easier to work through it because you both have that same mindset that you're looking to achieve. But, you know, think about what your marriage would be if one spouse never came home when they could, right? You know, like, eventually you'd grow cold and distant from one another. And there would be a schism there. You know, there would be a coldness there. But the Lord, you know, He turns us. He tells us these things so that we think of them in that light. That I, you know, it's good for us to come together as a body with the purpose of God's given us gifts for this very purpose. And the good is that we are working towards that unity that He establishes us in Christ. That's what we're looking for. We're trusting Him to do that work in our midst. All right. So when we're serving the Lord and those of His body and we begin to have success, right? When the Lord does that for us and we begin to have success and we see, wow, you know, the Lord's given me this gift and it seems to really be a help and the brethren delight in it. He now says, all right, you that have these gifts and are having success, He says, be humble about it. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. All right. And that brings us to our second point here, sober minded humility. And so Paul tells us that we're to think soberly about these things, all right? And he's speaking to us as himself a regenerated person, and he's speaking to regenerated persons, right? Those that are born again. Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, he said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Right? Anything we have is of the Lord. And then over in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he said, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And then he reminds us, right, the reason why we are humble about these things, and thank the Lord, and remember this, what we have is of the Lord, is that in 1 Peter 5, 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we're reminded, the Lord is gracious to us in the scriptures to remind us that we are to be humble. Because what we have and the gifts we have are not our own. You think of the evil of self-righteousness. And what is that? It's that we see these things that we have and do and think and say and how we say them. And, you know, we seem to gain in stature amongst our brethren. And what happens? We begin to think like a Pharisee, right? This flesh takes over and says, wow, I'm doing this. I got this. And I understand now how it works. And we start being puffed up in knowledge. And then we get judgmental and think down on our brethren and think ourselves to be something when we're not. And so that's what he's saying there. Paul would say to the Corinthians, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Right? And one more, he said to the Corinthians again in 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. And so we're to think soberly of these gifts that the Lord gives us and recognize that as we are encouraged, and as we are motivated, and as we more and more delight in the things of the Lord and serving one another, we're reminded that it's of the Lord that we do these things, and pray that He keep us, right? Lest we forget and focus on other things and delight in what we're doing, the Lord humble us and show us it's not of you, it's of me, right? Because He's faithful. He's faithful to do that. And so this word soberly is used, right? To think soberly. And that's the same root word that we heard Pastor Darvin preach on Thursday night. Right? Go over to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Now, Paul here in Romans says the word soberly. Think soberly. And it's the same word here where he says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's a sober mind. Right? And what does the sober mind think of? Right? That sober mind is speaking of the knowledge and the understanding that we have of what God has done for us. That's a sound mind. Right? When we talk about what we've done for the Lord and our focus is on us and the great things as we see them, as what we think, great things that we've done, when we talk about us and boast of our works and things we've done in the flesh, that's a knowledge that shows that we don't have an understanding that salvation is of the Lord. But the Lord teaches His people that this salvation in which we stand, this faith in which we stand, is the work of our God. And so if you read down in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, we see that what he talks about is exactly the foundation of our hope, that salvation is by Christ and not because of us or what we've done. It says in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." And so, the very fact that our God has given us, revealed faith in us, whereby we commit our souls to Him, that's all His work. We've got nothing to boast in that. So that faith is a gift of God. And it's all these things are His gifts to us, which He works in us. All right? And so remember these things, brethren, that there's an eternity, lying just beyond your next breath. Because your next breath may be your last, right? My last. And the Lord puts these things into perspective for us to know that it's His work and it's of the Lord. And what would it be like to, in a moment, in a moment of sickness, when you think you're about to expire and pass on into eternity and your life to leave this body and this earth, and you to see the Lord in all His glory, being ministered to by myriads, thousands upon thousands of ministering spirits, and all the souls of just men made perfect, standing before the Lamb, casting their crowns and shouting songs of praise and hosanna to Him. And you see that. What do you think, right? If suddenly you think, why didn't I? Seeing how glorious He is, why didn't I do more? Why did I hold back? Why did I do less? Right? If you If in that, I'm confident in that day, every one of us will not, one thing we won't be saying is, man, I wish I took it more easy. Man, I wish I had just done a lot less and just done the bare minimum just to get in by the skin of my teeth. You know, none of us is going to regret the sacrifices we made. But I am certain that those tears in heaven that the Lord wipes from us are as a result of, Lord, what was I thinking? Why was I so focused on this life and gaining the few things that I, you know, squeaked out by focusing more on those things rather than exerting the gifts I have in the body, in your body there on earth? And so none of us will be saying, I wish I took it more easily. And so knowing this to be so, Paul says in verse 13, 2 Timothy 1:13, let's finish there real fast. He said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So those are the sound words. And so back in Romans 12:6, we'll just briefly go through these. These are the gifts that he records here. He says, having then, verse 6, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Right? Our brothers, we have a couple brethren that preach for us when I'm not here, and we're thankful for that. And pray concerning that gift that the Lord has given you. And it's a reminder to me and to our brethren when they're preparing and bringing forth, pray for them. That the Lord, you know, help you in that gift. And that he restore Brother Scott to us as well, that he could continue to minister and use that gift that God has given him as well. But that the Lord help us to use that gift, knowing it's of the Lord, but with that desire that the Lord help. I pray that you bless it, right? We may not think of it, you know, you that are bringing it forth may not think of it as much, but it's a comfort. It's a joy for your brethren to know that they can come here and hear a brother who cares and loves them enough to study and to bring forth a message. Though it's meager in their own sight, yet it's just a joy to hear your own brethren confess Christ, isn't it? Isn't it a joy to hear your brethren speak well and exalt the Lord to you? It is a comfort to us in that. And so we don't think lightly of those things. And so pray, knowing that the Lord gives us those things. And then he says, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Well, that's comforting because that doesn't matter who you are. We all are ministers and able to be ministers one to another. Right? We all can be ministers, servants, and helpers and comforters in the Lord. And we saw that even with our sister who was sick, and all of you expressed that desire. You wanted to do something. You would have done more if you could, but you know, with the laws and not only, you know, and just the sickness being what it is, but we did what we could, right? And we prayed as we remembered them, and we were all thankful how the Lord turned them and strengthened Johnny and Scott. And Johnny wanted me to tell you all specifically. She texted me and said, please tell everyone thank you for everything. She's just so thankful. And it's because she knows and feels our ministering to her and our thoughts of her and our love for her and our remembrance of her and Scott before the Lord. It's a great comfort. You know, she's lost her husband this year already, and the thought of losing her son, I'm sure, was very painful. And it was painful, the thought of it, to every one of us. And none of us wanted that at all. So we're all able to be ministers, ministering to one another. And then he says, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, right? When you just remind your brethren, not in a cocky, arrogant way, but when you say, I'm just so thankful that it's all in his control, right? I'm just so thankful. And we're reminded, yeah. Because we see things that do concern us, and it's good to be reminded. Not in an arrogant way, like, oh, I don't think like that. We all worry about various things that concern us. And so it's a comfort to be reminded that the Lord has it in control. And He's working all these things for His purpose. He's got a purpose in it, and it's for our good. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, right? Not fanfare and boasting and saying, look what I'm doing. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Right? We ought not to be, sometimes, you know, when we're shrewd and wise, and we've been burned, we get reluctant to show mercy. But he says, even if you know you're being taken advantage of and cheated, just show mercy. Show mercy and leave it with the Lord. Trust Him. Do it in the Lord's name and trust Him. So that even if you're taken advantage of, your Father, who is also kind and merciful to the unthankful and the wicked, He sees it, right? And so we can do that graciously and cheerfully. And so, you know, I would just, you know, in closing, just say, you know, let us be encouraged to labor in this body and value the public worship like you do. You know, value that public worship. And you know, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have things at work blowing up and getting yelled at, having whether it's a customer or a boss or a coworker that's upset with you, to feel your job is threatened. I know what it is. I know what it is to have failures and to get bad news and to feel immense pressure throughout the day of what, you know, we need to do and what would make us feel a little more calm. I know it. I've been there. I know what it's like to feel that, you know, politically at work you're being sabotaged and people are working against you to hurt you and to bring you down. And yet, you know, knowing I want to go worship the Lord and to make that a priority and to show up knowing I don't think I'm going to get anything out of this. I'm exhausted today. And a lot of times those were my best, I don't know, it wasn't me, but the Lord helped me to hear things that I wouldn't hear. There was days when I showed up thinking, I can't wait for this, and was deader than a doornail. And then other days where I thought, I don't think I'm going to hear anything. And yet it was so sweet and comforting and uplifting to my soul in Christ. And that's a comfort, you know. And so when we, you know, there are always things. I'm not trying to shame anybody because I know it's true. Yeah, I saw it in myself. You know, there's always things that do come up that prevent us from coming. And there's, you know, conscious things that we make a choice for specific reasons not to be there at times. But it's those things, you know, the Lord knows our hearts. And it's those things that we use as an excuse. And I would just say, you know, if you ever notice after those things, you never come back like making it harder. When you make an excuse, a light excuse to not come, it only feels easier for other excuses to get in the way. It never seems to work the other way, right? But when you begin to just keep fighting through those things and just going through and coming, you find that it's actually harder for these things of the world to take you away from coming, right? And you want to be there all the more because it is an encouragement and a help to your brethren. Like, they're encouraged when they see you. It really, those little things, just showing up is like amazing. It really is encouraging. So do that. And then you with young children, I would say, you know, be encouraged. Know that you can bring them. And they'll adapt. You know, again, there was times where our kids were all in the back working on homework before the message started and after, right? Because they knew that this is where we're going. You know, you got a book report. The teacher didn't just tell you about the book report today. You knew about it for 2 weeks. You plan it out and do what you have to do to be there. And they learn, you know. So, you know, be careful what we teach our kids because they pick up, right? And if we make excuses for our children a lot, they find, you know, then they learn, oh, well, there's excuses and reasons why I don't have to be there at services. And then they, you know, pick that up rather easily. Because again, it's our flesh. It's very adaptable to liking the things of the world, very, very much so. So, again, pray about those things, that's all. Just pray about them, and because it's the Lord that teaches us. It's the Lord that gives us the heart and the willingness. And so when we come, He's the one that blesses it and makes it profitable to us and helps us. So I pray the Lord would bless that, and that we delight in the body. The same way we delight in our own bodies and take care for those things and provide for our bodies, and so that we continue to provide for one another and love one another in that. So I pray the Lord bless that to your hearts. Let's